This is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom show, the wake-up call on WCOM LP Chapel Hill in Carver.
So do you need to do a sound check? Okay. Am I okay?
Yeah. And welcome to the wake-up call brought to you by the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. We bring you issues of the day that affect our community. My name is Emily O'Hare. I'm here with co-host Dick Paddock and Lori Hoyt. And today, Lori will be having a conversation with Lori Clark. She is the coordinator of the Blue Ribbon Mentor Program. No, she says.
No, she's a high school specialist.
High school specialist.
Okay, thank you.
And Lori just has informed me that we're not going to focus on the Blue Ribbon Mentor Program. We're going to have her back on about that another time, which is a wonderful program. But she is here to talk about something else that's also very dear to her heart, the Hannah Ruth Foundation. Lori, tell us about that.
Thank you so much for having me. The Hannah Ruth Foundation was founded in 2010, and initially it was created or designed to think about ways we could help people that had been devastated by Hurricane Katrina. But we soon later found out that there were so many things that we weren't addressing here in our own community. And so we wanted to take a look at some of the issues that people were facing, things that they were experiencing. And so we decided that charity begins at home. And so we would just look at some of the needs of people in the community. And so as part of my work with the Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate Program, I work with high school students. So I see a great need in lots of areas, especially in terms of students that need some additional financial support going to college. And so one of our first projects was to help fund a young lady that had been displaced. She was really homeless and had a desire to go to Durham Tech, so we were able to fund, to provide her with a scholarship. And then my mom always serves as my hero and my inspiration. And just thinking about the fact that she lives off of Social Security, we start to really examine, some of the needs of the elderly people in our community. And understand this, we were totally operating for 4 years off donations, off of faith that people had in us to generate money. So we were able to start creating lots and lots of programs. And so there are some signature programs that Hannah Ruth has that I'm really very proud of. But before I go on, let me just stop and tell you about the name of our organization.
Which I love. This is so sweet.
And so Hannah is my paternal grandmother, whom I never met. She passed away during childbirth of my father, actually. And she was Hannah Burnett from Chatham County, but migrated here to Carrboro. And Ruth is my maternal grandmother, Annie Ruth Strout. She did a lot and lot of work here in the community. So it's their legacy, along with the biblical connotations that both of those women have in the Bible, that really is the inspiration and what I honor about our program in serving elderly people. So we have signature projects. We do a Pamper Me Day at Manly Estates.
Yes, where I live at First Baptist and Manly Estates, and it was wonderful.
And so, you know, we go and try to make sure that the residents are being pampered. And we are so just moved by being able to provide that opportunity. And you'd be surprised. We have so many people that come and say, I've never had a massage. I've never had my feet done. And so it's about the pampering. It's about the fellowship. And it's really about taking care of the elders in our community and honoring them. And all of our programs are free of charge. Because we know that people are living on a fixed income. And so we don't ever want, you know, admission or to an event be a hindrance for people not being able to participate. So we do the Pamper Me.
Which is very appreciated.
Thank you so much. So we do the Pamper Me Day, and we also do holiday meal delivery to sick and shut in. We've done that at Adelaide Waters, Manly Estates, Carolina Springs, and then to people just throughout the community that we knew that were sick and shut in. We have an ice cream social at Stratford House. I think they might have changed the name, but it's either Stratford or Covenant House on Smith Level Road, where we go in and we serve ice cream. We have a couple of our board members that are musicians. And so we have fellowship. You know, it's just about the time. My grandmother used to always say to me, you're always so busy and you never have time for me. So, it's, you know, Hannah Ruth really focuses on the fellowship, the enrichment that we can provide for elders in our community. And so just last year, we were awarded our 501c3. So I'm really excited about that. Because now not only can people make a donation and, you know, it's a tax write-off, but we can apply for grants.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're really excited about that. Mm-hmm. And so in December, we had our first annual Music for the Holidays. And we had local artists, Jennifer Evans, Callie Warner, George Michaels, Prince Taylor, among many others, that came out for a fabulous evening of just holiday music and songs. It was wonderful. So we're hoping to add that to our list of signature events that we offer for seniors. And then last year, we also had a senior prom. And so people dressed up and came out and they danced and we ate and we had fun. And that was held at the Seymour Center. And so in that same format, we want to do a formal or semi-formal event each year. And so on Friday, February 6th, we are having a semi-formal ball called Love is in the Air. And so our tagline has been, if you're single and you want to mingle, or if you're already a couple, love is in the air. So come on out and have lots of food, dancing, fun, and fellowship. And that will take place at the Seymour Center from 7 until 9 o'clock.
Wonderful. So that's so sweet, you know, that your mother was an inspiration to you about, well, she's your hero, but also seeing the struggle for people who are on fixed income, financial struggle, especially in this community, which is a pretty expensive community, and that this foundation is named after two grandmothers. That is just really, really just lovely, just lovely.
Well, thank you.
And I think that you all who are taking part of that, from what I've seen, get so much enjoyment. It's a gift that's done with such joy that you give back to the community with such generosity and happiness.
Absolutely. And, you know, my grandmother instilled so many values in me that, you know, one of our goals is to always do our work with integrity and compassion. And I think that's what we enjoy most, you know, that, you know, we get people together, they have a great time. And, you know, so when you get older, you don't want to stop enjoying your life. Mm-hmm. You know, you're full of life and you want to do just as much, if not more, that you were doing when you were younger, you know. And so that's what we honor. And so I think it's a great way to think about, you know, my grandmother's life and her legacy. And at our last event, one of the ladies that's on the board who knew my grandmother said to me, Miss Ruth would be really proud of the work that you're doing. So, you know, that's what inspires me. That's what keeps us moving in terms of trying to impact our community by providing these programs.
Now, you didn't know one of your grandmothers at all. She died at the birth of your father, the paternal grandmother. And that was Ruth?
That was Hannah.
That was Hannah. So Ruth, you knew her?
Oh, I knew, yes. And she died in 2005. And she was in her 90s. And, you know, so it was even my children were able to live. I lived right next door to her. You know, we grew up. Our family has been in this community since the late 1800s. And so I feel blessed and fortunate that my kids had an opportunity to get to know their great-grandmother. You know, and so she would instill different values in them. And even now, they'll say, well, Granny used to say, you know, and so that's very important because a lot of people either don't know their relatives, don't have an opportunity to know their grandparents or great-grandparents, but then don't have that family connection and know the history of your family. And so, again, you know, I get my cousins together when we do events, and I get her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren together. So, and they all volunteer so that we can continue this legacy and honor our grandparents.
So you keep, like, you live next door to your grandmother. Is that where your mother's still living?
That's where my mom still lives, on Jones Ferry Road. Don't want to give out too much information.
No. Okay. But it's been in the paper.
It has been in the paper.
A historic house.
Absolutely. And so my great-great-grandfather built a one-room log cabin. He purchased over 30 acres of land in Carrboro. And, of course, that's where my my grandmother and her siblings lived. My great-great-grandfather was a brick mason, and so he taught his son and his grandchildren how to do brick mason work. And, of course, you know, a lot of African-Americans helped build UNC. You know, the brick walls
brick sidewalks.
Absolutely. So
beautiful brickwork.
And then they were very involved in our church, First Baptist Church, which also used to be Rock Hill Baptist Church. My great grandmother was the first organist. You know, there are lots and lots of stories that I cherish about people that lived out in the country that would walk into town, and we had a well. And so they would stop at my great-grandparents' house and either get a drink of water. And one lady used to always say, clean off her shoes before she came into town. And then, you know, so, you know, from the one-room log cabin, they built on until they modified the house that currently stands now.
Yeah. So that house has been in the paper. It's a historic house. So you all stay very close together. You're so embedded in the community. It's such a, you're so lucky.
Absolutely.
You know, because for so many of us have been kind of mobile, and we've grown up in one state and we move here, and you have the kind of roots that many of us envy, and that is such a legacy in many ways. Then, yeah, that your family's been here, the Clark family.
Clark, the Strayhorn, and the Barbies.
Yeah, so no wonder you all seem so happy, no matter how busy you are. You always have a big smile. So so the Hannah Ruth Foundation is now a 501(c), and you can get grants. Keep that in mind, any of you who know about any grants floating around. And your dual focus is, well, the one needs in the community, but it's been sort of youth and older people?
Well, initially it was youth, and I think we've really gone in a direction of really working with the elderly.
Really with the elderly.
And we're just beginning to look at some issues around food justice. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of great programs, but really thinking about now, how can we get more fresh food to people? You know, and that takes a lot of work and partnering or collaborating with other organizations.
Canned goods are a lot easier to store.
Right, but getting fresh food to people to eat, you know, is valuable. And, you know, research shows, you know, eating live food, eating fresh food has so many benefits, you know, in terms of cardiovascular, you know, and just your energy level. And so, you know, we've talked a little bit about trying to come up with an angel box. And we don't really know what that looks like. But just so that elderly people at different residential facilities have access to fresh food.
So that there used to be a veggie van came to Manly. And it didn't last year. And I don't know quite what happened to it. But they would come around and with fresh stuff. Now, they charge, but you would get like a box of food, you know, at a pretty reasonable rate. So you might just check.
The veggie truck, that's a great idea.
Yeah, a collaboration with them. And I think they also go to Piedmont Health Services.
Oh, yeah, I think I've heard about that.
Once a week. And they would have, if you got the box, if you brought your shopping bag downstairs to the dining room, where it would be set up once a week, you got a dollar off. And then if you paid a week in advance, you got a dollar off because they could plan better so that the $7 box then became $5. So I was really disappointed that we've not heard about it this year. So that might be something to investigate.
Absolutely.
And they would just have North Carolina. It wouldn't be organic necessarily, but it would be fresh North Carolina food. So that would be something to maybe collaborate with. And then I think at the farmer's market, they have a collection place also.
I think they do also.
Yeah. And today in today's paper, Reva Street Market had a thing that they're trying to collaborate with some of the nonprofits in town about, especially with about fresh food and things. But that's great because a lot of times it costs a little bit more, and especially people on a very fixed income would maybe think twice about, they could get a can cheaper, you know.
Right.
So that would be great, yeah. So you're pretty much, at this point, keeping your focus more on the elderly.
Yes, and, you know, just really looking at enrichment, again, in terms of, you know, performances, really collaborating with organizations like DPAC or Playmakers.
Yeah.
You know, I know that Playmakers has a community night, and I don't even really know what the price of admission is, but, you know, again, for some,
$15. Yeah.
So still for some, $15 might be a lot. You know, so if we can partner with them, you know, that's what I want to raise money for.
I volunteer there. I'm wondering if I could talk to Julie, the coordinator, and get some information about that, at least start the process by mentioning it to her.
That would be great.
Yeah.
And so if anyone wants to get in touch with us, let me just put this plug in.
Yes.
It's HannahRuthFoundation@gmail.com, or you can call 919-260-4555.
555. Okay, 919-260-4555. That's your particular phone number, Lori Clark. Or you can go to Hannah Ruth Foundation
at gmail.com. And we're just in the process of going live with our website. Hopefully that will be by Friday. But we do have a Facebook page, Hannah Ruth Facebook page. So you can see all of our events are posted there.
So you got started, I think you said, in 2010, mm-hmm. when you decided to do this, which was a big undertaking. And so you're moving right along, and congratulations on getting your 501(c). That's great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that'll open some doors for
Absolutely.
You too financially. Yeah. So does your church, I guess the churches work with you, or have they not gotten on board yet?
The churches have not gotten on board, but we're just in the process of looking, really identifying organizations mm-hmm. that might be interested in working with us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're certainly not here to duplicate any existing mm-hmm. services. Mm-hmm. But again, really the elderly is dear and near to our hearts. And so, mm-hmm. again, we want our programs to be programs that are eloquent, mm-hmm. that are tasteful and respectful, mm-hmm. and that seniors don't have to worry about, you know, paying an admission. Mm-hmm. We're always willing to take donations, but you know, you don't have to come and say we need to go to this event and it's $10 or $12, because that honestly, that can set someone back. And so what we've realized
absolutely
is that if you lived your life maybe low to moderate, you know, income, or mm-hmm. you were economically challenged, you know, in retirement you live the same way. Mm-hmm. And so maybe you've never been to DPAC. And, you know, so we want to be able to provide opportunities and enrichment and go to events mm-hmm. so that seniors can experience, you know, can continue to live life to the fullest.
I think that's a great idea about Playmakers, where it's local. It'll be easier to get people there, mm-hmm. maybe get a bus and pick up at the three residences or the art center. Mm-hmm. You know, I bet each of those groups are so community-minded. Each of those venues mm-hmm. would maybe be interested in working with you. That would be really neat. And I was just thinking of the movie Selma.
Right, exactly. We wanted to do...
Bus doesn't go out to Timberline right. easily.
And so what we wanted to do is sponsor a Selma Day for seniors. And we've been looking into that. So another issue, as you just mentioned, is transportation. You know, and so can we begin to work with Chapel Hill Transit mm-hmm. and they can provide, you know, they have such limited and, you know, runs mm-hmm. for the Easy Rider, you know, really talking to the town about how can they be a little more accessible so mm-hmm. that when we have an evening event mm-hmm. that they can come out and pick people up and take them back home.
Yeah, that would be great, because they wouldn't probably mm-hmm. need a huge bus, because we have a shuttle that goes mm-hmm. around, I guess you know, to the three residences right. during the day, Monday through Friday. But even the town bus, which is right outside Manly, you know, just goes to a certain place.
Right.
It doesn't go into downtown Carrboro even, or let alone you'd have to take probably two or maybe three buses mm-hmm. to get out to mm-hmm. Timberline or one of the or Chelsea. So that would be mm-hmm. great to arrange some senior movie days. Yeah, that would be wonderful.
So we're working on that project. We're working on the Angel Box. And then, without giving out too much information, we want to do Seniors Got Talent. So, and I won't elaborate on that too much, but you know, but just throw that in that,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. So you've got lots of ideas percolating of things that could be done to make life more stimulating.
Absolutely.
And communal and collaborative for seniors, because it's always a risk, especially when people aren't feeling too well.
Right.
Sometimes it's a lot of effort to just make arrangements to meet a friend. You know, even when you're younger, mm-hmm. sometimes you get tired of being your own social secretary, where if there's something that you don't have to make the arrangements mm-hmm. for that is offered like that, that could be wonderful for people who can easily get isolated.
And so another project we're working on is sharing stories. and doing that through spoken word. So thinking, there are lots of benefits to arts and crafts, cognitive and, motor skills. So we're thinking about, having people really write their stories and have some type of art project attached to that, but then performing that, like spoken word. So
I wonder if Flyleaf would be interested in sponsoring something like that.
That would be possibly.
Something to pursue.
And then what is it, Lynn Harris with the spoken word?
Lyndon Harris, Hidden Voices.
Hidden Voices. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. They've done some pretty powerful things. Yeah, you have such wonderful ideas bubbling up there.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
So, okay, we've got 3 minutes before we have then an intermission.
Okay.
And at the intermission, are we still hoping to have some young people coming?
I hope. I'm not sure, but if not, we'll carry on.
Okay. We're hoping to have a few young people come and talk about a youth forum, and we'll talk about that, whether they come or not, in the second part of this program, but this part is devoted to Hannah Ruth. So what else do you want us to know about Hannah Ruth?
Well, I just want to give another plug for the senior Sweetheart Ball, is what
Sweetheart
we call it.
Sweetheart Ball.
Yes, Love is in the Air, which is this Friday at the Seymour Center from 7 until 9. And it's going to be lots of dancing. We have lots of men that will be there to dance with the single ladies.
Oh, boy.
And so, if you're single and you want to mingle, like we've said, or already a couple, just remember that love is in the air.
Okay, well, I think you ought to advertise that a little bit more about that movie, single men there, because as we get older, unfortunately, the gender ratio, it gets a little skewed. We women, I think, take usually a little bit better care of ourselves, so that might be a big selling point.
And it's free.
Yes. That's another big selling point.
So put on your red and your pink and come out and dance the night away.
Love will be in the air, folks.
That's
this
right.
Friday night, a little bit early so that you get your love juices going here. And it'll be at the Seymour Center from 7 to 9.
Exactly.
From 7 to 9. And there will be music.
Music. We have a DJ.
Oh, boy.
He was awesome last year for the senior prom. And people dance the night away.
Okay. Well, it sounds irresistible. Sounds irresistible. Okay. We're moving into our midway point, and we take a little bit of a break now. Let Lori catch her breath, think about anything she forgot to say that she wants to get in the second part of our program. I want to start off because I'm going to forget otherwise about an announcement that we just found out about, a fast-breaking announcement here. At 6 o'clock tomorrow, Thursday, February 5th, at Hamilton Hall on campus in room 100, there will be a student protest, and it's going to be about three different things. The first thing is going to be about the brutal firing of the head of the university's, Tom Ross, which was a huge shock to the whole university system, and he was fired by the Board of Governors, who have become over recent years predominantly Republican. There may only be one Democrat on the Board of Governors, heavily laden with Republicans, which could be fine, except that they fired somebody, and what made it really seemed brutal and embarrassing, I would think, to them, is that they gave no reason at all. They said he's done an exemplary job. He's done a great job. They had no criticism about how he handled his job, anything about it. and he was not ready to retire. He thought he was working a few more years there. So they preemptorily fired him. He will be working for a few months until they get somebody else. So that was a big shock to everybody. So the students, a lot of people have been protesting, and the students are protesting that. They're also protesting, which is also brutal and tragic, is that they are threatening to close 7 important social justice programs on campus. Some of the things that help it be a real university and not just preparation for corporations. One of them is the Civil Rights Center. Another one that Mark Dorison, one of our county commissioners, works at, and they do wonderful work on civil rights, which this state still needs a lot of work on. The other one that is work, poverty, and opportunity, and that's Gene Nichols, who's been under fire a lot for his being very outspoken about how much poverty is in this state. When we have 1 in 4 children in this state having insufficient food, being desperately poor. The other one that was struggled to get for years is the Sonia Haynes Stone Center, which is the Black student center, which is heartbreaking. So those are 3 of either 7 or 9 centers on just this campus. There are some in other campuses, but they are saving their biggest guns, it looks like, for UNC at Chapel Hill. And this is doubly upsetting. And the other thing, which is equally upsetting, is they're talking about increasing the tuition again. The tuition has gone up, 500% over the last few, not that many years. I don't quote my statistics, but it's gone up unconscionably. When I went to school as an older student, getting out of a bad marriage with 5 children, in the late 60s, the tuition was $205 a semester, and even in my circumstances was affordable for many people back then, because this university is the people's university. It's in our constitution that it's to be kept affordable. And now it's thousands of dollars. They keep saying, well, it's better than other states. Well, that's like your kid saying, the other kids do it, and so I didn't do as bad as the other kids. That's no excuse at all, especially when it's in our particular constitution, which is not with other universities, even state universities, that it has to be kept affordable. So they are. So that's the 3 main things that the students are protesting. So any of you who want to support the students, I think it's so important for the young people to know that it's not just them, that they do have community support. Please go at 6 o'clock tomorrow, February 5th, to room 100, Hamilton Hall. Thank you. Okay.
I think Dick has some announcements.
Okay, Dick's
coming
up. See
if I can get myself a microphone here. I have 2 announcements. The first one is a short one. I want to remind you to stay tuned in to WCOM at 6 o'clock. We have our weekly broadcast of News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, Executive Director of North Carolina Policy Watch. The other side of the news, the side that you don't hear very much unless you're really paying attention. The other thing is we have a save the date for a conversation on race and economic inequalities, sponsored by the Southern Anti-Racism Network and the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. excuse me. It will be held February 24th at the Durham County Main Public Library, 300 North Roxborough Street in Durham. And it will be in the main auditorium from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. There will be refreshments. Speakers will include Michelle Cotton Laws of Chapel Hill, who's executive director of the North Carolina NAACP State Conference, and also Teresa Elamine, our SARN regional director, will be in town. There will be refreshments provided. If you need information, look at our website, which is www.projectsarn.org, or you can send an email to pssarn@aol.com. This is WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
And we have you're going to tell about our underwriter, Emily.
Yes. Wake Up Call is underwritten by Internationalist Bookstore, which is located on Lloyd Street in Carrboro. 101 Lloyd Street in Carrboro. And if you're having difficulty, you can stream us live on WCOMFM.org.
Okay, and I just want to remind everybody that the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, this is our show, and we are here every Wednesday from 5 to 6 o'clock, and we do bring you community issues and also things that you don't hear in the mainstream, usually. And we'd like to invite you to listen in every Wednesday. We have some really, really good shows. Next Wednesday, we're having Ruth South, who's back from a trip to Cuba. Yeah, okay. She travels to a lot of places. This one, it's going to be Cuba. So this is right in the news a lot right now. So we're going to have an updated look at Cuba, and we're excited about that. And the following week, we're going to have Stephen Deer on, who's the head of the People of Faith Against the Death Penalty, which is also always in the news, unfortunately. And he's also going to be talking about a program that we've had on a few times that we're very interested in, the whole issue of sludge and the poisoning of our land. And he's on the AWASA board, so we want to hear what's happening with his work on the board about sludge. So stay tuned. We got lots of interesting programs coming up, and we'll hope you'll tune in. So we're going to get back to Lori Clark. Our young people have not shown up yet, but we're very happy that Lori's here. And are we going to still talk about Hannah Ruth, or are we going to
switch gears
to the youth forum?
Absolutely.
Okay, so this is going to be also, we talked about the needs in the community for the older people, and Lord knows the young people need some help and support too.
Absolutely. So, you know, a lot of great ideas and events are birthed out of just conversations like this conversation that we're having. And so there was a conversation actually at Kwanzaa. We celebrate Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
And we were talking about self-determination and community impact. And so several youth that were there wanted to think about what we could do in the wake of Michael Brown, you know, Trayvon Martin racial profiling, and you know, just the isms around being African American male and female, well, black and brown. And so out of that conversation, along with James Williams, who is the public defender, came the brainchild to have a forum, which would include a judge, the police, and some people that have experienced racial profiling or racial biases within our community. And it's been really exciting, the conversation that they're having. And so the event will be held Saturday, February 28th at Hargreaves Community Center from 6 until, well, we're saying 7:30, but probably 6 to 8. And so they want to have a panel. They want to have a judge. They want to have a police officer. James Williams, the public defender, will be on the panel. And I think some other people to talk about, number one, know your rights. But the other thing is, how do people of color deal or respond with law enforcement in a way that's not threatening, in a way that, you know, with integrity, basically. And so there will be a panel, there will be table topics and discussions about different issues, and then there will be an open forum for people to just have a conversation. And so we want to target, you know, initially we thought, and I'm stepping back, and the kids or the youth, the young adults are 21 to 25 that are planning this. You know, I helped create the initial meeting, but I'm like, it's your program. And they're doing a fabulous job. So initially they talked about, okay, so let's target high school to maybe 25. And then later in the conversation, they realized, no, middle school kids need to know, you know, in the state of North Carolina, if, you know, you are 16 and you do something that's inappropriate, then you can be charged as an adult. And so, you know, sometimes people don't know. Mm-hmm. And kids play around. And, you know, and that's all that they're doing. And then somebody can say, well, this was inappropriate or this happened. And really, kids don't know. So really informing people, making people aware, and really, I think, trying to bring some healing around to all the things that are going on a national level. But we've certainly experienced some racial profiling here on a local level. So building relationships with police officers, teaching people how to be better informed about their rights, how to handle a situation like that is, I think, the primary focus of the forum.
Wow, that is absolutely wonderful, because we had the NAACP had a forum, about a month ago?
I was there.
Yeah.
Rena.
That it was really, really good, but it was primarily adults.
Mm-hmm.
And I may have come up at that forum that, you know, this was the beginning conversation, but certainly to have young people, this is so critical. And you're right, a lot of young people have no idea that if they're 16 that mm-hmm. this state is so backward about that, but you can be treated as an adult and put on trial as an adult. So what, there's so many laws, and knowing your rights
mm-hmm.
Is just so critical. That's wonderful that you're all going to do that, and wonderful that these young people
absolutely
are planning it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there'll be a panel that will have a judge, a policeman, James Williams, and I take it then, I hope, more than one young person.
And a young person, yes, absolutely.
I think there should be at least a couple of young people with all that adult power sitting there on the panel with
them. That can be pretty intimidating at times,
I think
it?
So. I think there should be at least two young people when you're in on a panel with those you know, those adults, although these young people, if they're planning this, I'm sure they're going to be pretty darn articulate.
And the other interesting thing is, and research proves this, that, you know, a lot of times we focus on African-American males, but then there are African-American females that are being targeted, and they don't get as much publicity about
mm-hmm.
that. And, you know, again, Latinas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just so that, again, you know, people perish because they have a lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have knowledge, you can be, you can feel empowered, and, you know, and you can change. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of my goals in pushing the youth to do this is so that they know you live in this community and you have a voice and you can create change where
mm-hmm.
you are,
mm-hmm.
you know. And a lot of times youth feel powerless.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the things that I think would be good for the young people to know, that if they are getting in trouble with the policeman or feel disrespected or whatever, that they have someone that they can call, like maybe James Williams could,
right,
could be sure that there's some mentors or somebody who knows the legal system. I know parents will want to help, but knowing your kid's in trouble, you can also get very emotional.
Absolutely.
And hard to know what to do. So I think that part of this informing the young people would be that everyone kind of, there's some places or names or whatever that they can call to say, what do I do now, you know, mm-hmm, or what kind of help can I get? Because it would be very scary if the police are threatening you or harassing you. That would be pretty scary for as an adult, let alone for a young person.
Right.
Yeah, that's so needed that we all get more information, but particularly the young people. Mm-hmm. And you're right, there's been instances, more than one, in this community of harassment. I'm thinking of, I don't know how that case was ever finally resolved, of the Charles Brown, I think.
Right, right.
The,
I don't know.
The barber walking
Absolutely
home from right. a late night at work. Misidentified mm-hmm. and taken in handcuffs to the police station, and they just wouldn't pay any attention to what he tried to tell me. He was walking home from closing his barbershop mm-hmm. and going home from work. That's just one example. I remember at one of the NAACP meetings, a young mother, African American mother, was stopped mm-hmm. and on the side of the road and threatened and harassed. And I don't remember all the specifics, but that's not the issue. The issue was that she was unjustly harassed. Mm-hmm. And to know what to do when you're in a highly volatile mm-hmm. Situation. And there was just something on the radio or TV, maybe Amy Goodman's show yesterday, about a young Latina woman mm-hmm. who, I don't know what happened, was she, they charged, nobody was, no witnesses, that she was charging her car towards a police officer, but she was shot and killed. 17 or 18-year-old.
And where was that?
You're sort of paying attention. And you're
right,
doing
right.
stuff and whatever. And so I did. And then all of a sudden it was like, wow. So I don't quite. But again, it's your point that it's not always just males.
Mm-hmm.
Females too are increasingly threatened in ways that we get surprised by, but it does happen more and more.
And I think, when we talked about the purpose, it's about both parties being respectful. Police have a lot of power,
mm-hmm.
but we don't want them to mistreat or just be rude to people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a level of respect and integrity mm-hmm. that should be maintained. In any traffic stop or anything, it's just
civility,
absolutely.
Courtesy,
and so,
on both sides.
And so, I believe that the police department needs to do a better job of just doing that because, as we know, police are supposed to protect and serve. And a lot of people are not feeling like they are protecting and serving,
mm-hmm.
Their community. And so, and that takes a lot of work, honestly, on both parts. I'm not blaming, anyone in particular, but that takes work and it mm-hmm. takes healing. It mm-hmm. takes conversation. So I'm excited, that these young people care enough about their community, care about what's happening, and are really interested in creating change.
Which is wonderful, and you're right. The mayor of New York got criticized by the police because he mentioned that he and his wife have had that conversation with their son, who's his wife is African-American and mixed-race son, about if the police stop you,
right.
about being courteous, yes sir, no sir, don't get into an argument. And you're right, that's not a time to get rude
mm-hmm.
or feel you're going to tell them off mm-hmm. or anything. But unfortunately, the police have the balance of power in that gun on their hip, It gives, and they also should have training mm-hmm. about how to handle. But it is a two-way street. But this is great that, and I hope that this is not the only. I hope this is like a beginning conversation with the young people.
Well, they talked about that because you know the conversation went on and on, which mm-hmm. was a good thing, and they talked about the need to have at least four of these, maybe you know
yes.
a year. And they would spread them out so that, you know, when you have stuff and you need to release it, you want to release it and share it in a place where you feel safe and you feel comfortable and you can get some solutions. So I'm hoping that when people leave, and we've talked about this, what do you want people to leave with? That they'll know they'll be better informed about their rights.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have a better understanding of our police departments.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll be better aware of how to handle
mm-hmm.
certain situations should it arise.
Well, and I hope that you're going to video it.
Because, oh, that's a good idea. We hadn't thought about that.
Because, you know, I was just thinking about getting the word out that just so many people are going to fit into a Hargreaves,
right.
even if it's a full house. And if you have it videoed, that could be shown in a lot of classes.
Right. Absolutely.
That would be a wonderful.
Post it on YouTube.
Right.
On YouTube,
right.
It could be a wonderful in a civics class. I mean, it could be used in so many ways in churches with your youth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be great. And I know the People's Channel would probably be.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Glad to work with you on that. Yeah, yeah.
Huh?
Manso Chima, yeah, he does a lot for a lot of progressive causes. He is a very skilled videographer.
Okay.
But he works full time, so I'm not sure if you can necessarily get him. But I would call the People's Channel.
Okay.
And see if they can have Mansoor Chima is the one we're talking about. And if he can't, if they could recommend somebody else, because they train people
mm-hmm.
and have classes, and then they're glad to get a chance to practice. And maybe some of the ones, you might just check with the ones who are going to be in youth form.
Mm-hmm.
And if none of them have taken that class.
Oh, that's a great idea.
That would be great for them to start. They periodically have these training classes, and they will let you use their equipment. You can check it out,
mm-hmm.
and you have to just bring it back at a certain time. So that would be another empowering
mm-hmm.
thing for your young people. Wow, that would be
awesome.
That would be awesome. Yeah. So
you all have given me some great ideas.
Well, you know that I don't know about you, but I'm not a lone ranger, and it's when I feed off of other people's
absolutely.
ideas, you know, and that sparks your own brain cells
right.
perking up and flourishing here. Well, I'm really excited about this youth forum, and let's say again, it's going to be
it's entitled Know Your Rights Forum.
Know Your Rights Forum, okay.
Saturday, February 28th. From 6 to 7:30 at Hargreaves Community Center.
6 to 7:30 at Hargreaves Community Center. Great. Know Your Rights Forum. Okay. I'm writing that down so I don't remember. Know Your Rights. Well, we'll try to mention that, Dick. Let's remind
great.
Each other and Emily on subsequent shows, because this is a lot of times by a week afterwards people forget,
mm-hmm.
so we want to mention it again because the 28th is the end of the month. Yeah. Okay, so that, we were hoping to have a few of the young people come.
Well, maybe we can get them in before the event.
Maybe we can, because even though we have somebody else scheduled, we can always give a 15-minute slot.
That'd be awesome.
We would love to do
that. Would be awesome.
Yeah, yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
Maybe the week before would
yes.
be especially good. Yeah. Okay. So how are we doing on time? We still have a little bit of time?
Yeah.
Got
five minutes.
5 minutes? Is there, okay, for people who would like to get in touch, would there be a way to get, are there going to be flyers going out?
There will be flyers. We have a meeting this evening, and we're working
on. You said I'm going to be working
yes,
late tonight.
We're
yeah.
working on publicity, and so there, probably next week we'll have flyers out. We're
okay.
confirming panelists tonight. Okay. And program format. So in the next week, I'm sure we can get some flyers out.
Great. We'd help put them around.
That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Emily's great with that, and I'll try to be better than I've been. I get them up at Manly, but I don't know how much further. But we'll try to get some out, and Dick can get some out. Yeah, so flyers, and I forgot what else I was just asking about publicity. Well, I had a pearl of wisdom, and it just
that's okay.
Got loose.
Just to see your interlude.
Yeah. So, okay, February 28th. Oh, I know. Was there, if somebody wanted to call to get more information, just wait till more information
right,
comes
exactly.
out.
Right, exactly, yes.
In other words, don't call your number.
Well, I can give you this number that they can call.
Okay.
919-537-2284.
2284, and that would be a name to ask for?
It's like a work cell phone that I use.
Okay. It's Lori.
Yes.
Okay, so you want to get more information and you haven't seen a flyer yet, call Lori at 919-537-2284. Mm-hmm. And she'll be more than glad to tell you about it, or if you have some further ideas of how to get the publicity out. And I guess with a lot of young people, these things go out on, YouTube?
YouTube or Twitter, Facebook, Twitter. Facebook. Yeah.
And the other thing is now with Chapel, what do they call it,
Chapel Barrel,
yeah. Or something, some weird
Isn't
name.
Isn't that interesting?
But that might be good so that some of our elected officials pay some attention.
Absolutely.
Are they going to be invited?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we can see how many of them mm-hmm. show up. I hope a lot of them.
So do I.
I hope a lot of them. Yeah, and at least if they get that invitation. So this is, again, the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. I'm Lori Hoyt with Dick Paddock and Emily O'Hare. And our guest tonight has been Lori Clark, a dear friend that I've known for quite a few years. And she was one of the ones who was pampering us at Manly. That was so much fun. We got our feet rubbed and toenail polish put on and massages and foot soaks, and it was just wonderful. The kind of treat that as we get older we rarely get, and sometimes we can do it more for ourselves and we don't think of that, and it's so nice when somebody does it and takes such tender care of us.
I want to do a little oral paperwork, so to speak, here. We did not mention the websites for Internationalist Bookstore.
Wow, we got carried away here.
Internationalistbooks.org.
Okay.
And also the WILF website, which is triangle WILPF.org.
Yes, and they're favorite people of ours, too. And they've been our underwriter for since the beginning of our show.
Right.
It's been about 5 years now, so we have and like us, they're volunteer run, and it's a gift of love to the community. And just like the radio station, WCOM, our low power community station, is also volunteer run. So where would the community be without, and you're the Hannah Ruth
with
Foundation.
With all of us, right?
Yeah.
Right.
It takes all of us.
The pillars holding up
That's
the
right.
community. Okay. So tune in next week. We're going to have Ruth Salf on talking about Cuba and her recent trip. And we look forward to hearing from you. Do we have some music to go out on?
Well, I guess we could do that.
While you're looking for that, let me just say the Hannah Ruth Foundation at gmail.com and to call 919-260-4555. Lori Clark, named after her two grandmothers, Hannah and Ruth.
Yes.
Okay. We can't hear it if we don't put the earphones on. You can just scoot out of here.
Yeah, I will. As soon as we get to, yeah.
You're young and beautiful and energetic.